And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. We've been in a series on the book of Acts, been going through it a chapter at a time. And we spent a lot of time in Acts 1 and 2 just getting to know who the Holy Spirit is, because that's the introduction to the Holy Spirit when he birthed the New Testament church. And then last week we talked about Acts chapter 3, and today is Acts chapter 4. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there with me. I wasn't going to do this, but I feel like I need to. The Word is forever anointed, amen? If you notice me, I'm 52 now. I've got to pull my glasses down like that so I can see. But I'm going to read Acts chapter 4, so if you have it on your phone, get it out so you can follow along with me. I'm reading now the New King James Version. It says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." So this is Peter and John that they arrested for healing the lame man at the beautiful gate at the temple. Verse 4, and that was all in Acts chapter 3. Verse 4 says, "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. That's just the men. That's not counting women and children. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, there you go, all these hard names, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power, by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and all to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone,'" talking about Jesus. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And everybody said, amen. Verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they couldn't say nothing against it." The guy's standing right there. He's been healed. They can't refute that. Verse 15 says, "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them from now on that they not speak to no man in this name.' So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, not to teach in the name of Jesus." And here's where we're going to focus on today. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed." This guy had been lame since birth. He's 40, and in one second, in one moment of time, he is leaping and jumping and praising God. That is a miracle of God. Didn't happen gradually, it happened immediately. Verse 23 says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth looked through their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that which all the boldness that they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." We need more signs and wonders and miracles happening in the church. And I believe they're going to start happening because they're going to be God's calling card to bring people into the kingdom of God, just like in this day. 5,000 people, I'd say, and that's not counting the women and the children, in one moment. In one moment. We're going to see God, in this last day move of God, we're going to see God do more in 24 hours than people have done in whole lifetimes. It's going to be amazing. verse 31, and we're living in that day. This is the finest hour of the church. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. This is the church being the government. Everybody got real quiet. All right, verse 35. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So that's all of Acts chapter 4. And so what I'm going to focus on today is the Christian and civil disobedience. When we're to obey government and when we're not to obey. Everybody said? Amen. Now, I'm just going to preface this message today with this. This is an apostolic message. It's apostolic doctrine that I'm going to be teaching you today. This was taught in the early church. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know, I'm sure, it wasn't popular in its day. Because guess what? Their government was even more corrupt than the one we've got right now. It was. Okay? And they taught what I'm going to teach you today to the early church. And it wasn't popular back then, and I can guarantee you, you're going to have some pushback with Pastor Mark today, but I'm going to show you, it's the pushback's with God, because this is in the Word of God. Amen? And I've had to do some repentance this week myself. You heard me repenting before I ever got up here this morning. And because it's a governmental message, it's an apostolic message, and what we have to realize, guys, and I'm going to say this, and because it's happened to me, it's happening in the body of Christ everywhere, as we are being indoctrinated, not by the Word of God, but by the news media today, okay? CNN, I don't know which one, CNN versus Fox, boom, you know, there they are. And let me tell you something right now. News today is not news. It's entertainment. They're doing all that stuff. It's a ploy. They're doing all that stuff for ratings. Okay, so don't buy that. Don't buy their what they're selling, hook, line, and sinker. Okay, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just fired up this morning about this message. Okay, because I've been having to do a lot of repenting myself. Because I have been the one that said, "Not my president." Well, I'm an American. He is my president, and the responsibility that I have. Maybe I didn't vote for him. There, I said it. Okay, but I'm just going to go ahead and get it. I'm being transparent with you today. But he's still my president. And everybody said, well, he got in by, I don't know how he got in, but here it is. We're going to learn this here in a little bit. He got in, and God allowed it to happen. Yeah, God allowed it. And so he's the one that's the president, so I have to submit, but I have to pray. But there's times that we got to even pray for him, but there's times that we can disobey government, and there's times that we have to obey government. Did anybody want to wear a mask? Okay, no. Okay, yeah. But there's times that we had to, right? Okay? Who would have thought, if I'd have had a prophetic word in 2010 that in 2020 people are going to be split, household split over a mask? Just think about that, how ludicrous that sounds. Guys, I'm in real estate, and I'm just going to tell you this. This is my whole introduction this morning. I'm in real estate, and I know, and I feel like God brought me in real estate to know what's going on in the nation. And there is something going on in this nation right now. There's a whole shift going on of people moving from both coasts to the Midwest. It's happening. I mean, by the droves, it's happening. And I believe it's God positioning things for this last day harvest to happen like that. I think it's going to happen so fast, it's going to make all of our heads swim. And then we're going to hear the trumpet and we're out of here. I mean, I'm telling you guys, there's things that we've already seen, the signs of healing already happening in our nation right now with Supreme Court rulings over what's been going on. I loved what I think it was Janice told me after church last Sunday when we were talking about the Roe versus Wade and everything, the overturning of that. And she said, I believe that we're just getting started. Then boom, the next week I heard about the prayer thing. Guys, we're just getting started with the coach and prayer and all that with the Supreme Court. But it's time for the church to rise up and begin to pray and to get involved in these things instead of just sitting back and letting things happen, all right? We can't just sit back and let things happen. But so I'm going to focus on Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. Did that all make sense? Because I feel like I'm just rambling like a crazy man up here right now. Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20 says, "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them," this is the government of their day, "so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" All right? They got arrested for speaking about Jesus. Now, I'm going to give us all today, from God's Word, four principles concerning civil obedience and civil disobedience. And as Christians, this is the first thing that I want every one of us in here to realize. As Christians, we are first and foremost citizens of heaven. Okay? Philippians 3, verses 20 through 21 says this, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." And I'm just going to say this right now. As Christians, we're first and foremost citizens of heaven. I just want you to follow with me, okay? I'm not an American Christian. I'm a Christian American. Oklahoman. Leedian. Bison. All right? That's the order of everything. I'm first and foremost a Christian. And every one of you in here, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're first and foremost a Christian. Okay? So you got to understand, this is where we're coming from. That's the foundation that you got to start with. Here's the second thing. As Christians, we're to submit to governmental authority. No, and boy, it is quiet in here today. Nobody loves this word submit, all right? Submit. We just don't like it, but it's all through the Word of God. And this is what the apostles taught the early church. And this is 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 14. This is the apostle Peter talking to the Christians of the day. And he says, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man." And here's the deal. It's not for their sake. It's not for your sake. It's for the Lord's sake. Because if you will submit, then God can do his work behind the scenes. Selah, that means stop and think about it. But if we're in constant rebellion and talking like Pastor Mark has been doing, and I know Dusty's probably out there hearing me, I share memes with him, presidential memes. I'm repenting today, guys. I feel like a hypocrite standing up here preaching this because that's not going to get anything done. Sharing stuff like that on Facebook and everything. I'm all for standing up for truth. We got to do that. But we can't belittle who's in government. We've got to be praying for them. And we're doing it for the Lord's sake because so that his spirit can move in our country. And everybody said, "Whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And I want our example, and guys, I want you to really think about this one, okay? I've been pondering this one all week. All right. How many of you here want to be like Jesus? I do. That's all of our goal, right? I mean, he's our role model. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. I want you to think about this. Every time his disciples were like, "Let's overthrow Rome," you know, he's like, "Guys, oh my gosh, how long have I got to be with you? That's not why I'm here. That, you know, I've got a kingdom that you don't even know anything about, you know." And they're like, you know, Peter and John, they're just like, "Let's overthrow Rome. Let's go in there with our swords. Let's just kick everybody out." You know, I'm not going to use the other word. Let's just kick everybody out. And that's what the disciples, their mentality was. And Jesus was like, "Guys," you know, they left the town one day and the sons of thunder, James and John, said, "You know what, God? Call down fire from heaven like you did in the Old Testament." They said, you know, they're trying to use scripture on Jesus, right? He's God. And he says, "Guys, you don't know what spirit you're of when you act like that." And I just want to share this with you. And this has been giving me the fits all week because I'm like, God, I'm not there. And I want to get there. And I know I got to get there. And I know there's a time to stand up. And there's a time to submit so that you can work and do your thing. And just teach me, Holy Spirit, when to do that. When to speak up and when to shut up. Okay? And we all need to be like that. But here's what I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Jesus showed us that submission allows the plans of God to prosper. He could have called down fire from heaven. He could have called down angels. He could have stopped the whole process. Thank God he didn't. Or we wouldn't be going to heaven today if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Jesus showed us that submission allows the plans of God to prosper. When he was standing before Pontius Pilate, the Bible says he didn't say a word. He didn't argue. He didn't rebel. He was submitting to the plan of God. You think his flesh was crying out? I bet it was, because he was just like us. But he submitted to the plans of God so the plans of God would prosper and so every one of us could be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank God he did that. And I just want to say this to all of us right now. Rebellion is not the way. Okay? I know it's really quiet. I knew this wasn't going to be a popular, it's not going to be a shouting message. You know what? A pastor friend of mine said, you know what? You need to start teaching chapter by chapter in the Word of God because it will discipline you not to skip over the things that you don't want to teach and preach about. And this was one of them I don't want to teach and preach about because I haven't been doing it. I've been griping more than I have been praying for leadership and for president and for the government. But rebellion is not the way, but the word that God's bringing into the body of Christ, there is revolution. It's a whole different thing, okay? Not rebellion, but revolution. Submission, you might want to write this down, submission is power and strength under control. I heard from a pastor friend the other day, and we were talking about all of this, and he said that he heard, and this was even before COVID, that he heard a well-known prophetic voice that has pretty accurate, and I'm going to go ahead and say this right now because he's put himself out there. And guys, there's a revolution happening in this nation right now. People moving, the shift's going on, all this is going on, people are moving. And this prophetic person said that what God showed him is that in 2023, 23 states were going to secede from the union. We're living in the last days. And this is the church's finest hour. That's not rebellion, that's revolution. If that is to happen under God Almighty, God allows that to happen, that's not rebellion, that's going to be a revolution. Just throwing that out there, okay? I don't know if that's going to happen. Everybody's looking at me like, you know, get her guns, you know. No. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there but guys, we got to have the right spirit if that's to happen. If we're to have a revolution, we have to do it in the right way to bring revival to this nation. All right, Romans 13, verse 1 says, and this is the Apostle Paul. We've heard from the Apostle Peter. This is the Apostle Paul. They taught this to the early church. This is even when Nero was ruling, and he persecuted Christians, all right? Romans 13, 1, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Man, this is a mouthful. Let every soul be submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. It doesn't even split it up. The word doesn't come out and say Republicans and Democrats and all the different parties that we have. It just says submit to authority. Titus 3, verses 1 through 2, it says, remind them to be subject. Here's the Apostle Paul talking again. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. God help me, I've done that. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, as Grandma's saying, all right? And it's still true today. There are exceptions, okay? And I'm going to give you just a few exceptions from the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 1, we're not going to turn there. I'm just going to paraphrase these exceptions. And there's many more in the Word of God, and some of you can already think of others as I'm sharing these. But in Exodus chapter 1, the Israelites were growing in population. the Hebrew people were growing in population, Pharaoh, the government at the time, the king at the time, commanded the male infants to die. Thank God Moses' parents did not listen to the government. And that's where they put Moses into the Nile. All right. Thank God. And the reason why is because they valued life. Life is from God. God is our creator. Daniel chapter 3. Some of you know this story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were commanded to worship the king, and they said, "We can't do that, king. We're not going to bow our knee to you. We're going to worship our God." You know that story. They said, "Nope. We're not obeying that order because it goes against Scripture." Daniel chapter 6, when they were trying to trap Daniel because of his prayer life, and they made a decree that he couldn't pray and all these things, and so he violated the king's command so he could pray to his God. He disobeyed. There are times for civil disobedience, and everybody said, amen. There's a time to obey, there's time to disobey. Acts chapter 14, and may God train our consciences to know when to disobey and when to obey. Amen. I saw people get, I've seen families split over a stinking mask. Okay? Just submit and wear it if you need to. Amen? Okay? I know the mask deal's over now, kind of, but I'm just using that as an example. I don't know what else is going to come down. I would have never dreamed in my wildest dreams about a mask. All right, Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Is everybody learning something this morning? It's really quiet in here, and it's really bothering me. But I knew God told me it was going to be really quiet, so. Acts 14, verses 18 through 20 says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, and you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" So that there's them when they disobeyed the order to not speak in the name of Jesus. We were commanded to speak in his name, and we can't do that. So I'm going to give you this. There's only two times when we can disobey government. Number one is when the government commands us to do what God forbids. And then number two is when the government forbids us to do what God commands. Those are the two times that we can disobey government. There's things happening right now in the educational system across our land. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, things that they're trying to, the government that's trying to endorse to filtrate into schools to teach children. And I'm going to tell you right now, and everybody's in uproar about it, and this is, I'm going to leave it like this. Parents, it's your responsibility to teach your kids, not the school system. Okay? And so just remember that. You may have to have a revolution there. Number three, as Christians, you know that back in the old days this church house was the schoolhouse. Yeah, they prayed and read the Word of God, and then they learned math and arithmetic and all that kind of stuff. We may see those days coming. Revolution. All right, number three, as Christians, we understand God has established authority. He has put it in place. And I want to start off with this scripture to remind you that this was the Great Commission. This is where Jesus said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" So all authority is underneath him. Even if we don't agree with it, well, who's ever in power or whatever, it's been ordained by God. He allowed it to happen. Okay? I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get right there in just a second. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible this time. It says, "To be a responsible citizen, be a good citizen. All governments are under God. Insofar as there is peace and order, it's God's order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you're irresponsible to the state, then you're irresponsible with God, and God will hold you responsible. Duly constituted authorities are only a threat if you're trying to get by with something. Decent citizens should have nothing to fear. Do you want to be on good terms with the government? Be a responsible citizen, and you'll get on just fine. The government working to your advantage, but if you're breaking the rules right and left, watch out. The police aren't there just to be admired in their uniforms." I love how the Message Bible says it. "God also has an interest in keeping order, and he uses them to do it. That's why you must live responsibly, not just to avoid punishment, but also because it's the right way to live. That's also why you pay taxes, so that an orderly way of life can be maintained. fulfill your obligations as a citizen. Pay your taxes, pay your bills, respect your leaders. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to say something, and I'm probably going to get some nasty emails after I say this, and text messages, but I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's in the Word of God. I can back it up with the Word of God, is that oftentimes in the Word of God, God gave a nation or nations the leaders they deserved. Ouch. Okay? And he allowed it to happen. I just want you to hear this, okay? He allows it to happen so that his plans can prosper. God's at work in this nation. I don't care what, you know, who's sitting in the White House. I'm going to honor the president, pray for the president. I'm going to quit speaking evil, you know, all those kind of things, sharing bad memes. I'm stopping right now in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, I feel like a huge hypocrite up here teaching you all this today because I've been caught up in all this stuff. I listen too much. I'm going to just repent right now. I listen too much to talk radio. I got to stop it. I need to start listening to praise music and just praying. Because when I start listening to that stuff, you know what happens to Pastor Mark? I get ticked off. And my mindset goes where it shouldn't go. And it's not good for me. It's not good for me mentally, emotionally, or any of that kind of stuff. But God is at work in this nation, and his plans are prospering. And there's revival and revolution happening. It's already happening. And it's going to continue to happen, and it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. But as Christians, here's number four is we got to respect those in positions of authority. And this is going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They're God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're in a danger to society. I'm going to read that again. Okay, it is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to keep doing good. And that's good is what triumphs over evil. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Then it says, treat everyone you meet with dignity, love your spiritual family, revere God, respect the government. Do good. We got to keep doing good, guys. And everybody said, amen. That's how we're going to overcome evil. Just a few things that I want to share with you. This is what we do. We honor God when we honor those who serve in government. Number two is we honor God when we obey the law. Instead of trying to break it all the time. How many of you in here like to speed? Okay, I'm just confessing again. I know Clark's got a lead foot. I've been with Clark, my brother-in-law. There's one, I've just got to share this story. It's so funny. I'm going to share two stories with you. One story was my civil duty was I got called to be on jury duty at Dewey County when I lived here in Leedy. And so I was getting around that morning. Some things happened. I was kind of running behind. So I took off from town to head to Saloga. I go out here and I hit 47, and I'm just blowing down 47. And here's my thoughts. I have never seen a hypo on 47. And I've got the pedal to the metal, right? And I'm going, and I top the hill, and there he is. And he's meeting me on the highway. And as he meets me, he shuts her down, and he starts turning around. So I just immediately, he didn't even have time to turn lights on. His blue lights, I just pulled over, got off, you know, on the side of the road. And he pulls up, and he's a younger guy, younger than me. He walks up there, and I already had my driver's license out. And I just looked at him, and I was smiling. I said, well, you got me. And he said, you have got to be the fastest one I've ever seen pull over. And I said, well, you know what? I just confess, I got caught, right? And I broke the law. And I ended up, because I was just truthful with him, He goes, why'd you already pull over? He goes, you didn't know I was going to stop. I said, oh, yeah, we're the only two on this highway right now, you know. And I was speeding, and I know you was coming to get me. And he was laughing about it, too. And he said, you know, I'm just going to give you a warning. I was like, thank you, sir. Another time, though, on a Sunday, left here to go to one of Taya's softball games. And I was going through it's a Sunday, and there's road construction. But there's no road construction going on. Nobody's there. So I just blow right through it. Well, I get pulled over. He was sitting off the road somewhere, just watching this little spot, you know. God, don't that just aggravate you? And he pulls me over. Well, I was Tabasco sauce was already starting to rise up with me because there's nobody there, you know, in the road construction. I'm late to a ball game. I'm trying to get to watch my daughter, and he comes up and he looks at my deal and he said, sir, what do you do for a living? I was like, oh my gosh. I said, I'm a pastor. I pastor Harvest Fellowship Church in Leading. He starts laughing. He goes, well, you're the second one I've caught today. I just gave a ticket to the Methodist church pastor, and you're getting one too. I was like, well, thanks a lot. Yeah, but yeah, he got me good because I broke the law. But we honor God when we obey the law. Number three, we honor God when we talk respectfully about leaders. Gosh, I got to get better at that. I hope y'all go home on Sunday afternoons and talk respectfully about me as your pastor. Number four is we honor God when we pray for those in authority. And that's what I want to end on today. This is where my conviction has been all week as I've been looking at Acts chapter 4, thinking about this message, is that we honor God when we pray for those in authority. And I will confess that I have been griping, complaining, murmuring, all those kind of things, more than I have ever prayed for people that are in government or in leadership. And this is the Apostle Paul talking in 1 Timothy. And he's telling Timothy and the believers there, he says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And a lot of us hear this scripture, and I'm fixing to show you a scripture that all of us hear on this holiday, on the 4th of July, and it's 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And I just want to point out, it says, if my people. It doesn't say if the heathen. It says if my people. It doesn't say if the pagans. It says if my people. It doesn't say if unbelievers. It says if my people, which is the body of Christ. We got to pray. Amen. If we're wanting to see things happen in this nation like we all desire to happen, we want to see happen, we have got to pray. When you're driving around, just pray. You know, if it, during the day, just ask the Holy Spirit to give you a heart to begin to pray for our president, to pray for those that are in government. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everyone to bow your head in here this morning. I want our praise team to get ready because we're going to go out with this song today, the fourth song that they sang about Spirit Breakout, because I feel like